Hello and welcome to the Americano podcast, a series of discussions about American politics and the Trump presidency for the New Spectator USA website. I'm delighted to be joined by Zach Christensen, and we're going to be asking, what do the Americans think of Brexit? Zach, most Brits now are quite embarrassed, I think, about the Brexit situation. We like to sort of present this image of competence and intelligence and a highly functional country to the world. And there's a sort of feeling that the political paralysis, the crisis over Brexit, is embarrassing to us and embarrassing internationally. And I'm just wondering, as an American, whether you think it is.
So I think that, you know, the way that the American left thinks about Brexit is very much the same way that the British left think about Brexit, which is that Brexit was an embarrassment and that they shouldn't be leaving the EU.
It was racist.
All of the things that they would say. What I think is really embarrassing right now for a lot of people is watching what's unfolding and, you know, may not being able to get a deal and sort of the fighting that's going on and, you know, votes of no confidence. And actually, it's quite entertaining for an American to watch. I probably, similar to the way people around the world thought, it was very entertaining to watch Trump campaign.
He's been great value. Still is.
Great entertainment value. And so, you know, it's something that doesn't necessarily directly affect us, although it does, obviously. But it's exciting to watch, and it's educational for a lot of Americans to watch unfold. You were explaining some of the nuances of how this all goes down to me the other day about votes of no confidence and when you can call a vote of no confidence and if you can call a general election again, things
serious
like that.
Bluffing, because I'm no good on parliamentary procedure. But yes, I mean, I think that the New York Times, I think it must have been about, it was probably around the end of 2016, that somebody did a piece about how, you know, we seem to be competing with each other as to who could be more crazy. And I think that's a very sort of lefty take on it, you know, like you should both be depressed about the state of politics. But I mean, I think whereas, you know, Trump is obviously quite embarrassing to a lot of Americans, but he, so far, before the shutdown, had projected quite a sort of competent image to the world, surprising elements of competence. Maybe this is because I'm a self-hating Brit, but I think the sort of Trump situation is more coherent than Brexit.
That's an interesting take. It's a very interesting take.
You disagree?
Yeah, I think I would disagree. I mean, obviously, what's going on right now with Brexit is, yes, extremely chaotic. But it does at least seem to appear that there are adults in the room, some adults who have ideas about what needs to happen. They just can't seem to make anything happen. Yeah.
Well, I did a piece called Donald Trump Does Brexit. And I meant it to be a joke. But as I was writing it, I started actually thinking it would be a lot better if you were, because...
Absolutely. I mean, I think that you and I have talked about this in the past, and that is, well, first off, it's crazy to me that Theresa May has not taken up Donald Trump on any of his offers, which I guess are unconfirmed offers, but certainly Trump is no fan of the EU. Mm. So one tweet from Trump saying, you know, if the EU doesn't give, you know, Britain a better deal, we'll start our own own organization with Britain, or we'll give, you know, we'll stop trading with the EU. One errant tweet will make the, you know, will change the entire ball game. And I don't understand why May hasn't engaged on this front.
Well, as I understand it, it was a sort of, she's a kind of technocrat, and she's not sort of politically correct. She does have a sort of political correctness about her, and it was probably this sense that Trump is like toxic, and that she doesn't want her sort of political brand to be caught up in his, which I think is very foolish when he's the leader of the most powerful country in the world.
It seems ill thought out when you're trying to get the best deal for your country. Yes. Right? Her job is to get the best deal for Britain.
Yeah, and I mean, sad. another. I mean, apparently, what the case she made to Trump when Trump said it was it would cause too many problems with the EU if she were to do that. But again, I think that's short-sighted and shows a kind of inability to understand the art of the deal, which, of course, Trump understands very well.
Of course, yeah.
But, okay, let's say, as an American businessman, what would be your approach, mate? What do you think? How do you think Brexit can resolve itself?
So, I mean, this is the view of an American who knows very little about how all of this works. But what
it's better to know little.
I watch parliamentary politics happen from afar, and I see prime ministers resigning all of the time, and I don't understand why May is still prime minister. I can't figure it out. Like, what power or leverage does she have? And isn't that usually when a prime minister resigns? And so
I think fear of Corbyn is the great.
Sure. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but her holding out actually improves Corbyn's position, right? It only emboldens the possibility that Corbyn is the next prime minister, because you can eventually go vote of no confidence over and over again until you get to a general election.
Yes. I suppose the Tories hope that at some point Brexit will somehow resolve itself and then they can get on with beating Corbyn. But I agree with you that he's been getting stronger as a result of May's obvious ineptitude.
Yeah. Well, so look, you know that I am an ardent Boris Johnson. Yep. I don't want to say I'm a supporter of Boris Johnson.
Yep.
I'm a fan of what I think that he could accomplish if he were in charge of Brexit. And for look, from my perspective, looking at this, again, as an outsider, I don't see how Britain can get a good deal right now.
Mm.
And essentially no deal means, you know, it's not that Britain will never trade with the EU again, right? So no deal just means no deal for now until we exit. You know, I think you have to elect, I think you have to put Boris in the PM seat. Have him just do a no deal and let him start renegotiating with a fresh start in, what, 70-some days? 69, 68 days?
Yes. Well, the problem for that is that Boris probably can't get past, at the moment, I don't think he can get past the first round of voting if there were to be a leadership contest. But, I mean, I'm interested in your admiration for Boris, because you're also a big Churchill fan, and a lot of Americans do love Churchill. There's almost a sort of cult of Churchill in Washington.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there is.
Totally proud of it.
Yes.
And I think, you know, what that's Boris has sort of deliberately perhaps cultivated this Churchillian air around himself.
He wrote a book basically comparing himself to him.
Yeah. And that annoys a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people think that's sort of grandiose of him.
Yeah.
But you think that's kind of awesome.
I think it's great. Maybe I'll do it one day. If that's all you have to do. No, I think that there, I mean, this is going to sound so silly, but I think there are parallels between the two men, especially in this situation. Churchill was hated by so many people, right, until he came to power in 1940, but he was the right leader at the right time. And so, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who just absolutely hate Boris. Obviously, lots of people absolutely hate Boris and think he's a complete goofball, but I actually don't know who else can lead Britain through Brexit right now. I mean, who is there? There's really nobody. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of candidates bandied about, but there's just nobody who has, I think, the sort of wherewithal and bravado that you need. Sort of, in a way, it is almost Trumpian, like this Trumpian bravado to get you through. I mean, I don't think he's anything like Trump.
Well, let's talk about that. But a lot of people do compare Boris to Trump. Nick Clegg called him Trump with a thesaurus.
Yeah, we were talking earlier that maybe we should do a piece on why the elites hate Boris Johnson. Because I can't see it. It's like the comparisons between him and Trump are sort of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because there's really not, I don't see them. You know, I couldn't imagine, you know, Boris was giving a speech today and did like 40 minutes of Q&A in front of a dump truck, which I guess is that sort of Trumpian. But
well, there is a little bit of Boris derangement syndrome in Britain, and in the way that he annoys the elite.
Yeah.
And it's very, you know, Londoners probably having, although he was won two elections in London.
Right, exactly.
Which is a very Labour city. But if you talk to a lot of Londoners, they'll say how much they hate him. Or if you talk to a lot of rich Londoners, they'll say how much they hate him. And I think it's partly a sense of, perhaps partly a sense of class betrayal, that, you know, he's kind of pretending to be a populist. That's what really winds people up. But they are, as you say, they're very different figures. They may look a tiny bit similar. They've got similar
They
shapes.
Actually, in similar colored hair, I guess.
Yeah. This is sort of high level.
Right. No, but I think the comparisons are absurd, other than, you know, he is this sort of populist figure, but he's actually, I think, an extremely intelligent populist figure who I think is the right person right now to lead Britain through, you know, what needs to be done. So
it would be interesting if Boris were to become prime minister, if I wondered there would be a similar sort of conspiracy around him as there has been with Trump. Yesterday, of course, we've heard that Trump is accused of having encouraged Michael Cohen, or ordered even Michael Cohen, to lie, which of course would be obstruction, which would be illegal. And that could mean he is impeached, but we just don't know. And this is the thing about the Mueller inquiries. It drags on and on and on, and we just don't know.
We said this. So today, if you went anywhere, and you know, watching cable television or on Twitter or anywhere else, You sort of have these running commentaries. It's a lot of arguing back and forth over this news story that there's really, it's all you have is a news story, right? Mm. So whether Trump is guilty of obstruction or not guilty of obstruction, or, you know, if he's guilty, he's going to be he can be impeached. And if he's not guilty, then they won't impeach him over it. But arguing over back and forth is just so, I'm so bored of this. Yeah. There's only one person or one group of people who really understand what's going on and the breadth of this investigation. And sort of the back and forth arguing over the last 6 months has gotten just really tiresome.
But also, I often think the people who are most into this story and who most want, you know, a dark conspiracy to be true are shooting themselves in the foot because they hype every single tiny bit of information each time. And I mean, this BuzzFeed story, which everyone said is like the biggest bombshell yet, it's big if it's true, but it doesn't make the case that it's true. If he were to be impeached, even on sort of reasonably good grounds, you could be talking about sort of civil unrest. I mean, a lot of people in Britain are talking about, you know, the potential of civil unrest in relation to Brexit, if Brexit is sort of thwarted, if the will of the people is thwarted. And there could be, you know, there's a lot of Trump enthusiasts and they're slightly better armed than Brexit enthusiasts.
Yeah, I think it's always ridiculous when you hear stuff like that. I mean, maybe there'll be protests in the streets, as there often are, but I don't know. The idea of armed insurrection seems pretty far-fetched to me.
Well, we'll talk in 2021. Yes. Thank you very much for listening. Just a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and you can also subscribe to the magazine through our special podcast offer, which is on www.spectators.co.uk/podoffer. And we'll even throw in a Spectator moleskin notebook for people who take up that offer.